Good morning. My name is Frederick, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there'll be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And if you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Paul Daggett, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to the November 2016 NBPE Investor Update Call. I'm Paul Daggett, one of the investment professionals here at Neuberger Berman responsible for the management of NBPE. The presentation for this call, as well as the Q3 financial report and October monthly NAV statement, can be found at www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. So on that presentation, turning to page two, just to describe what we are and what we do, our objective is to provide investors the opportunity for capital appreciation through share price growth, as well as current income through a regular dividend. NBPE's strategy is to invest directly into private equity companies across the capital structure in the best relative value opportunities. What we mean by that is we invest in both equity and debt investments, and we will choose whatever the prevailing most attractive investments are in those two particular types of investments. The manager is Neuberger Berman, which has a $40 billion private equity platform, and NBPE leverages these in its investment strategy. And finally, we believe that we have one of the lowest all-in costs of other listed private equity funds, since there is only a single layer of fees on the majority of the investments in this vehicle. So it's a efficient way to access a high-quality and well-diversified private equity portfolio. On page three, a little bit more of a description and update on the manager. It is a broad and diverse private equity platform that we have here at Neuberger Berman. We have over $40 billion of commitments under management across these five different boxes that you see here. The two that are relevant to NBPE are the two direct strategies of co-investments and private debt investments, and we'll talk more about those as we go through this presentation. But the important point from this is to take away the scale and the level of relationships that we have here at Neuberger Berman, which NBPE is able to take advantage of. We have, over the last 3 years, on average, committed about $3 billion to private equity, and we have over 400 different fund relationships at Neuberger. We have 110 investment professionals across seven offices globally. Moving on to the performance update on page four, this is a summary. We'll talk more about each of these different four sections here. But starting in the top left in performance, through the first 10 months of the year, we have an 8.3% NAV per share total return and a share price total return of 13.9%. So we're pleased with the performance so far this year. Obviously, we hope to continue it until the end of the year, so we can tell you this when we look back on the full year, which will be in March timeframe. In terms of capital position, this is something we regularly talk about. We believe it's extremely important to maintain a strong capital structure. You can see we have $825 million of assets. We have a very strong commitment coverage ratio because of our direct investment strategy. And two other points and updates on the capital position. We've talked before on one of our calls about the credit facility, which we renewed in June of this year. That has actually been fully repaid at this point in time. And another note is that the ZDP financing that we did in September was extremely successful. Again, we have issued press releases and talked about it, and we'll talk about it more. But those two things together really just illustrate the strength of the capital position we have at the moment. Looking at cash flows, it looks like it could be a record year. Last year was actually the strongest year for distributions from investment realizations to NBPE. And we're actually on track to exceed that at this point with $282 million of distributions from investments to NBPE. And you can see we've invested $110 million and paid $24 million of dividends this year. And talking about dividends on the bottom right, the yield on the NAV is 3.3% and a 4.3% yield on the share price based on an $11.50 share price. And we have 61% dividend coverage through the yield from the income investments in our portfolio. Page five is the balance sheet summary. There's several points I want to make on this slide. Firstly, at the top of the page, you can see that the level of investments has fallen over the first 10 months of the year. That's the result of very strong realizations that we've had. So private equity fair value has fallen by 94 million. The private equity investment level has fallen from 116% to 98%. The direct result of that, as you can see below that, is that we have built up a reasonable amount of cash and paid down our credit facility. So we've actually moved from a net debt position, looking at cash and cash equivalents, credit facility, and ZDPs of 101 million at the end of December to a net cash position of 16.5 million looking at those assets. And again, I'll discuss our investment pace a little bit more later in the presentation. And then finally, at the very bottom of the page, again, I already mentioned that the NAV per share total return is 8.3%, and you can see that in the direct numbers in the NAV per share growth here. So it's been a very active year for the portfolio. And if you turn to page six, you can see that the value bridge that we show the fair value development from December 2015 to where we are today at the end of October. So we've had good realized and unrealized gains in the portfolio, including some good upticks in the publics that we have. Strong yield income, as you can see. We also had some positive FX movements during the year between the sterling and the US dollars. And that was offset by dividends as well as management fees, other expenses, and financing costs. Slide seven looks at the portfolio investment activity and liquidity. And again, you can see how strong the distributions from realizations has been over this year. Year to date, we're at 281 million of distributions. That compares to 308 million for the whole of 2015. And looking back 1 year further to 2014, we had 200 million of distributions for the entire year. So it's been very, very strong liquidity. You'll see that the gray bars are really where those distributions are coming from. That is our income investments, in which we've received $190 million in return of capital over the year. So there have been a very large number of realizations in both equity, but in particular income investments. And then on the other side of that equation, our investment pace has been a little bit slower, which I'll get to later in the presentation. Looking at the portfolio on page eight, in terms of high-level diversification, we are at 23% income investments, 22% funds, and 55% in equity co-investments. And again, these numbers have moved around quite a bit during the year. Income investments have fallen, and fund investments have roughly stayed the same, but I would note that that's really because of the fall in the income investment level on a dollar basis has led to the fund percentage staying the same, but the dollar value has fallen from 180 million to 156 million, so that does continue to wind down over time. Geography, we remain heavily weighted to North America. It's by far the biggest market, as well as a market that we think is particularly attractive as on a bottom-up as well as a top-down basis. So that has been the strategy, and that has been where our investments have fallen over time. And you know, it does change somewhat over time, but that is something we foresee continuing at least in the coming months. In terms of industry, on the bottom left, again, we are well diversified. Technology remains our biggest individual concentration, and that's something where we feel very comfortable. First of all, many of the technology companies, at least on the software side, have recurring revenues and very predictable revenues, which makes them interesting from a private equity investment perspective. But also, when you look through technology investments, ultimately, each of those technology and software companies that we invest in has a different underlying market, so a different industry look-through in many ways. So we feel confident with our technology portfolio, and we think the portfolio is appropriately diversified. In terms of vintage year, again, we are weighted quite heavily towards 2014, 15, and 16. That is a direct result of the realizations I just talked about over the last 3 years. We've been able to generate strong liquidity in part through a strategy of looking for shorter-term investments, and that has created these reasonably large concentrations in the more recent vintage years. Just another note on that is there is very little in very old years. So 2008, 2009 and earlier, you can see that there's actually 12% of the portfolio. Most of that is in older legacy funds, which, as I mentioned, are really winding down over time, and very little of that is in direct investments. Page 9 is a summary of the equity investment portfolio. We have 77 co-investments worth $400 million based on the fair value as of the end of October. Very well diversified, as I mentioned, across vintage year, geography, and industry. There's an average age in these investments of about 3 years. So in a private equity life cycle, typically you begin to see liquidity in years 3, 4, and 5. Which means that on average, the portfolio is relatively young, but really moving into that liquidity phase. So I think that's a good thing. 72% of these investments are in small and mid-cap companies. So it is weighted heavily to the mid-market and to the lower mid-market. Again, that's something where we see particularly attractive investments and have seen over the last several years. And finally, it is also very well diversified by sponsors. So there's more than 45 sponsors or general partners represented in those 77 equity co-investments. Just on the right-hand side of the page, these valuations just give you an idea of where we're holding companies compared to the public markets. And you can see that we are holding the companies that we value on an EBITDA basis on average at 10.6 times EBITDA, whereas the Russell 2000 is trading at 19.4 times. So there is a big difference between private valuations and public valuations. And in particular, there is a big difference between our portfolio and the public valuations. So again, it just gives you an idea of how we are holding those companies. The leverage is 4.8 times net debt to EBITDA on average. And the portfolio has seen good growth, 4% revenue growth, LTM, 7% EBITDA growth. So we're very comfortable with where the portfolio is. We think it's well positioned. And as I mentioned, we've also seen a lot of liquidity coming out of it. So we're very happy with the equity investment portfolio. To give you a little bit more of an idea of valuations and results, slide 10 on the left-hand side looks at our gross multiple of invested capital based on exits that we've seen. In particular, if you look at 2016 year-to-date, this is 7 exits. And by the way, this doesn't include IPOs, so this is just full exits where we've sold public stock at the last point or where we've had an M&A transaction. So 7 exits representing 2 times money on those exits thus far during the year. And then on the right, we look at valuations in a different way. And what this slide does is it looks back over 3 quarters, 2 quarters, and 1 quarter prior to an announced exit and looks where the valuation was held in those time periods relative to where the exit was ultimately realized. This does include IPOs, since that is we see as an external valuation event. You can see that 3 quarters prior, these companies were held at 22% higher lower valuations, I should say, than where the exit ultimately happened. 16% 2 quarters prior, 11% 1 quarter prior. And again, in the case of all of these exits, which there are 8 IPOs, 2 partial exits, and 13 full exits, you can see that the valuations have been conservative relative to where the exits have ultimately happened. Slide 11 is a slide which, as I looked at these before this call, I usually turn to prepare some thoughts on each of the companies. We've actually covered 10 of these companies on prior calls, and the one other investment that is new, number 7, is a company that we're not able to disclose the name of this investment. So I thought I would pause here and just discuss our investment pace and what we're seeing in the market. Clearly, we have not been as active in this quarter as you've seen us over the past several quarters. Part of that is simply how investments close, and sometimes they will kind of come in a relatively lumpy way. So I can tell you that there are a number of investments in process. It's not that we've stopped investing, but we do expect a number of investments to close in the November and December timeframe. But I think also there is a point to be made that we are being very cautious with our investment pace. We are seeing extremely strong transaction flow, so we're looking at a lot of deals on a daily basis. And as we always describe our portfolio construction, it is very much bottoms up oriented. So we look at the investments on a deal by deal basis and decide whether they're investments we want to participate in. We've simply been cautious over the last several months. The market in general is very competitive. We do see pockets of interesting transactions, and we would expect at some point that investment pace to pick up. But the key message, I think, is that although we've had a very large amount of realizations, we have not been rushing to reinvest that. We'll do that at a steady pace, and when the right investments come along, we'll be happy to invest in those. On slide 12, we look at the other side of the equation, realizations and IPOs in 2016. And again, this just gives you the names and some notes on those. I won't go through each one. There's $134 million of total value here with a 2.1 multiple of invested capital, in some cases based on the most recent public markets and Extraction and Patheon. Sabre was fully exited during the year. And really the three biggest investments are the top three on this page, Extraction, Patheon, and Sabre. Some of these investments were a little bit older. So if you look at investments like TPF Genco, NXP, Sabre, those are 2006, 2007 generation co-investments. But most of them are actually significantly post-financial crisis investments. So RAC or Swissport are both 2011, and Patheon and Extraction are both actually investments we participated in 2014, and I'll talk more about Extraction on the next page, which is slide 13. So 13 is a case study. This is the largest position in NBPE today. It completed its initial public offering, as you can see here, in October. But just to take a step back and talk about the strategy when we went into this investment, this was a midlife investment, and again, we've talked about midlife investments a number of times on these calls. It's part of our strategy in co-investments, not just to participate in co-investments at the outset when the transaction is completed initially, but very often a sponsor will need to raise additional equity during the life of an investment for a number of reasons, and one of those is to complete add-on acquisitions, which it doesn't want to do through its fund, usually because there's a concentration limit has been reached where they can't invest more equity in that transaction. And in those situations, they'll look for an external sponsor, and it needs to be somebody who's able and willing to price the investment themselves. And in the case of Extraction, this was an investment which is in the DJ Basin in Colorado, and they have a very large amount, actually, of acreage near the core of that play. They were looking to acquire more assets to really reach the scale where they could take this public. We came into this investment in July of 2014, which happened to be, I think, 3 or 4 months before the oil price decline began. This was a investment we've always been confident in, even through the downturn in prices. We've talked about this investment before, that it is very economic at a reasonably low price level. So it has always been something we've had confidence in. And obviously, as the price came back somewhat and the public markets began to look more receptive to an IPO of an E&P company, the sponsor here, Yorktown, ultimately filed and took this public in October of this year. It filed at a range of $15 to $18, ultimately priced at $19. And as you can see, we valued at the end of October at $21.36. Actually, last night's close was $23.49, so it's had a good couple of weeks. So this is has been a very good success story so far. We're not through it yet. Obviously, there's a public position here that needs to be exited, which, again, is something that, as you know, we tend to do when lockups expire. We begin to think about how to work our way out of public positions. So that's Extraction, a very notable event in the portfolio and a material company at this point in time. So with that, I will move on to the income investments on slide 14. The income portfolio has 35 investments today with $165 million of fair value. As I mentioned, that has fallen. It was as high as 43 investments with $286 million of fair value at the end of February. That has fallen again because of realizations. Most of those are recapitalizations or full sales of companies where the debt is ultimately redeemed. In a way, it's a good problem for us to have that we're seeing this liquidity. But again, it's a competitive market. We have been cautious about our pace of reinvestment, but we do expect ultimately to begin to see that level grow again over time. But just as in equity, we feel no pressure to invest at any given pace. We feel no pressure to make sure that cash is put to work in investments unless we think they are really good investments. And so, again, that explains the difference in the investment level in income investments today versus the beginning of the year. What is in the portfolio, though, is typical of what we've talked about in prior calls. We have a very strong cash yield, as you can see, 9.8% with a 10.8% yield to maturity. We have a good position in the capital structure where we, on average, have entered at 5.4 times EBITDA with 4.1 times senior debt above us in that. So, again, we think it's a very good risk return for the yield we're getting. And most of this investment is floating rate, with 80% of these having a LIBOR floor of 1 or 1.25%. 15 looks at the characteristics, and again, this is a slide we include in every presentation. So really the takeaways are that the quality of the portfolio remains really high. We are investing in asset-light companies with strong free cash flow generation. Most of these companies, as you can see, are market leaders, meaning they're number one or number two in their markets. They have high equity cushions, strong EBITDA margins. And again, always the most important statistic at the bottom, 100% of them are in performing credits with no covenant issues. 16 looks at new income investments in 2016. And once again, this is a slide where there's not much to update you from the prior call. I mentioned we're being cautious. We do expect and are seeing opportunities that I think will end up in the portfolio. So it's, I think, likely that we'll have some updates on this when we do talk about the full year, but these five investments are all investments we've discussed in the past. So with that, I will move on to the performance section of the presentation on page 17. So historic performance, again, at the top, net asset value, total return. You can see that year to date has been 8.3%. I'd also point out that within that set of returns, all of the different asset classes are performing well. That includes the equity investments, the income investments, as well as funds. So we're pleased with each of the individual sections, the performance they're producing, and feel that the portfolio is very well positioned to continue, hopefully to perform well, as well as to produce liquidity. And we've done that, as you can see, in the short, medium, and long term. And then in terms of share price, we've had a 14% increase in share price year to date, which we're very pleased with. I will also mention that that is in dollar terms. So for a sterling investor, those returns are significantly higher than that based on what has happened in the currency markets since the end of June. So we again, are pleased with the share price performance so far this year. We've always got an eye on the discount. So today we're at a 22% discount. Going back to August, we were at about a 28% discount, so we are moving in the right direction. We would like that to continue, clearly, but it has been a good year in terms of both the portfolio and the share price thus far. Slide 18 looks at the dividend and the dividend coverage. So this year we paid 50 cents per share in dividends. We've talked in the past about covering the dividend from the interest from the investment portfolio. That has actually fallen to a 61% level. So importantly, we've updated this chart to really stress that we feel no pressure on the dividend. We have a very large amount of liquidity coming from realizations in the portfolio. So we've $3.16 per share thus far this year. So while we've talked about the desire to cover the dividend from interest, we'd still like to do that We still like to increase that back to 100% over time when we see the right investments. But in the meantime, we are seeing plenty of liquidity from other parts of the portfolio. So really the message is, as I mentioned, that we feel no pressure on that dividend. The 50 cents of this year is a level we hope to be maintaining. In terms of capital position, on page 19, I mentioned we have a 551% commitment coverage. We do have a very low level of fund investments that aren't cancelable. So between the cash and available credit facility, which is $150 million, including a $25 million accordion, we have, as you can see, more than five times the coverage for those unfunded commitments that we do have. And we're also feeling very well positioned, really in any market environment. So, as I mentioned, we're still seeing interesting investments. We're still completing transactions. If anything did happen in the market that caused some type of dislocation, we'd also be very well positioned, first of all, from how we look at our existing portfolio, most importantly. But secondly, with that cash and available credit facility, we can invest at a very good pace should we choose to. So we're very happy with our capital position and continue to maintain it, I think, in a sensible and conservative way. Page 20 is just looking at, again, at the NAV and share price developments, and I've largely covered this. You can see the share price has done very well in recent months, as has the NAV, and you can see when the two dividends were paid last year. So once again, in terms of discounts, it's not a level we're happy with. We're still doing a number of things to try to narrow that discount, but at least it's moving in the right direction, and we hope that continues. So to summarize on page 21, we do feel that NBPE is an attractive value proposition. As I mentioned, we look for capital appreciation and growth really from the equity investments, as well as income and an attractive covered dividend supported by the cash yield, both from the income portfolio as well as investment realizations. The capital structure is very well positioned. We have that cash and available credit facility. We refinanced the ZDPs and the credit facility this year. So really for the next 4 to 5 years, we are very, very well positioned on that capital structure, completely renewed it in 2016. And finally, back to the point on fees, that we think that we're providing a very strong portfolio with an attractive fee structure. We think that our fees are lower all in on a look-through basis than most other listed private equity vehicles, simply because the fees on the direct investments on our fund are, in most cases, the only fees that you're paying, not a second layer of fees to underlying sponsors. And that makes the look-through fees, the all-in fees, I think, very attractive. So we feel very well positioned in this market, both on a go-forward basis as well as what's in the portfolio. And we believe it's an attractive value proposition. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions that people may have.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. That's star, then the number one. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Okay. And it looks like our first question comes from Ian Scholar with Stifel.
Hi,
Good
Ian.
Morning, Paul. In terms of equity markets, we've obviously seen a big sector rotation post the election, and I was just wondering if you've got any thoughts as to how that may impact some of your portfolio valuations.
Yeah, so I'm just turning to the industry slide on slide eight. It's certain sectors, obviously, that really have benefited in the last couple of weeks. Energy has been one of those, clearly, and that's, I think, been beneficial to the portfolio, in particular if you look at the performance of extraction. But in terms of the private valuations, I would say that there's likely to be only a small impact, at least in the short term, in terms of investments already in this portfolio. Ultimately, private equity valuations are based on market multiples, but usually have a discount applied for their smaller size and illiquidity. And I think that there may be certain sectors within this portfolio where we do see a small uptick, but I think the question probably also applies to new investments, and that may be a place where we do see a difference. I think that private equity over the last year or two generally has, looking at industry-wide and globally, has looked for really high-quality assets, really quite defensive assets, and we'll have to see what happens with the new administration, whether that leads to any change in risk appetite. And I think that would be an area that may, over time, affect the makeup of the portfolios as we have to make decisions based on what's expensive on a go-forward basis, given the new kind of economic outlook in the U.S. And that one is more to be determined. But I think it's beneficial given that the market movement is upwards, clearly. But I don't think it's going to be a huge uptick simply because of the way private equity valuations tend to work, which, as I mentioned, has really a conservative mark-to-market approach. So I'm not sure if that fully answers your question, but that's my initial thought.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, obviously, you've got 15% in the healthcare, and we have seen quite a strong move
Yeah.
up in that sector over the
Yeah,
last couple of weeks. So
I think
net, net, it looks positive.
yeah, and the one thing I should add to that is, on that note, the likelihood is where you see a particular sector like healthcare or energy benefiting in the public markets, the likelihood is that benefits exit markets, whether that is through IPO or more typically, in the case of our portfolio, through M&A. It's likely, if the market stays the same, to lead to a better and more liquid exit environment. So that is a very good point, that could be a benefit if it is maintained. So private valuations may tick up slightly, and within that particular portfolio in healthcare or energy, it may tick up slightly, but the more medium-term potential benefit would be in the exit markets, I think.
Okay, thanks very much.
We now have a question from the line of Tom Sharp with MatAge Capital.
I wanted to follow on from that, which is that the fact that the market's been so strong, and I always think you probably have greatest exposure to Russell 2000, that's up about 11% since the end of October, means that the discount's probably understated compared to, I would hope, some benefit over the next month or so. From the strength of those markets and indeed from the strength of the levels at which you're likely to exit portfolio companies. You mentioned taking some action to narrow the discount, and I think there's been discussion previously about change in structure, but there's no reference to this in the presentation you've just given, so could you give us an update on that, please?
Well, so in terms of structure, essentially what we said in our quarterly report that I'm sure you've seen is that we are continuing to evaluate all options. This is a very real analysis, and things, analysis continues to move forward, but there's a number of complex issues, as you know. So unfortunately, I can't give you a kind of tangible timeline or update, but we are still considering all the options that we've previously discussed. So that certainly is one of the ways we're looking to hopefully create some benefit, but the other big thing, well, there's two other things. First of all, portfolio positioning, and the way we report and the quality of the investments, and secondly is investor relations, which again we do have a large focus on that and intend to try to reach as many new investors as possible over time. So it's really those three things when I refer to that. But in terms of your particular question, there's unfortunately no update I can give you since we're just too early in the process. But things are moving, and it, as I mentioned, is a very real analysis with a number of follow-up items ongoing at the moment.
I mean, it has been a number of months, so do you want to give some time frame of when you're likely to be able to come back to investors with at least an update of the direction of travel?
I'd love to give a timeline, but I wouldn't want to give a timeline that turned out to be inaccurate. So your point is well taken. I'll say that, look, we worked on a number of things which were very time-consuming and important to MBPE, which really was the credit facility and the ZDPs. That happened in really the spring and the summer going into autumn. And I'd say that our focus is now not on a number of things, it's on one thing. So I can't tell you when we'll be able to make an announcement, but I can tell you that it is our priority within MBPE to come to an answer and to tell our investors what that answer is.
Okay. Well, it would be great to have an update when you're able to give at least a time frame when we can get some feedback on that process. And it's, you know, Harvest has done this. Riverstone was launched with a structure that addresses the U.S. investor concerns. This is not completely virgin territory. But thank you.
Well, point completely taken, and we will do our best to give an update as soon as we possibly can.
And once again, if we have anyone that would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. That's star, then the number one. And it looks like we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, thank you to everybody for listening today. All the reports are available, and we'll look forward to updating you on the rest of this year and our full year results in March.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.